Hey guys, and welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Townsend, and I hope that you guys have had a very Merry Christmas. That is my hope. I know that might not always be a reality. I think the reality of holiday situations, from personal experience, as well as almost everybody I've communicated with in life, a common factor with the holiday season seems to be that's the time when you get together with people that you don't usually see throughout the year, right? It's almost like a reunion time. That's that time when you normally aren't with these people, but this is your opportunity to see these people. Some of the people you're excited to see because maybe distance or things like that, you're not able to see them. And some of the people maybe you're not very excited to see. Maybe there's a reason why you don't see them the rest of the year. Maybe there's a reason why there is that distance. And something that seems to happen at a lot of holidays can be dysfunction and a lack of peace. And that's the direction I feel led to go in today, y'all. I don't know exactly what is going to come out of this episode, but there is some scripture that the Lord has called me to meditate on the past week, which is Romans 12:18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And as I'm progressing throughout the week, I'm seeing more how that isn't just a scripture for me, but that is a word for whoever it is listening to this episode. And that's what we're gonna kind of pick at today is, as you're pursuing your relationship with Jesus, how do you, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all? I want to start with sharing some personal testimony with y'all, right? As like I'm speaking to y'all as a former people pleaser to the core. And I didn't even realize how deep of a people pleaser I was. And when I've been kind of tracing it back, I think where it rooted for me, and I believe this roots for a lot of people and they don't see it in their own lives, is as a child, I developed this idea that I could control the responses and the reactions of people around me. Primarily adults, right? I had adults around me that sometimes their emotional responses or reactions were pretty intense. And sometimes they feel triggered by something so small. And I started to develop in my head that maybe if I was just very thoughtful and very mindful of my steps that they see, I can avoid these big reactions. I can avoid the anger. I can avoid the upset. I can avoid the hurt. I can avoid the pain. Now, I want to be very, very, very clear, because I've shared this in past episodes, that I had a lot of self-destructive behaviors, like as a child, as an adult, as a young adult, as a teenager, with the partying, the drinking, the smoking. I was really kind of destroying myself as a way to disconnect or release. But I feel like the adults around me only knew like a tenth of that, right? Like they didn't see all the depth of it. And I had developed a response that I called speak when spoken to. And I had learned with a lot of the adults around me that I would only speak to them if they spoke to me first. I wouldn't go out of my way to start interactions. I wouldn't go out of my way to start conversations. And I also learned to respond with a yes or no behavior, right? Like where I would just try to be very vague and very quiet. I wouldn't ask a lot of questions. I wouldn't give a lot of detail. Because I had learned that in my experience, it was random details that someone would get upset over, or it was random details that would set someone off, or it was something that most people like wouldn't think twice about, that a person would get really angry or upset. So I had learned, like, if I want to limit that to the most I like the most possible limit, I'll just water myself down and be very bland and be very quiet. And I learned I'll just make myself completely uninteresting to this person. And It worked for the most part. But then sometimes they would actually get upset at me for being too bland or not being excited or not being happy or not being any of this. And I didn't pick up on it back then, but it was something that the Lord has revealed to me now of even in that time when I did everything possible to not frustrate or upset someone, that would frustrate or upset. And I hadn't realized that throughout my life I was carrying this weight and I was believing this lie from the enemy, because the enemy is the deceiver. I was believing this lie that I could control the emotions, the responses, and the reactions of people around me based off of how I responded, based off of how I reacted. And I remember when I gave my life to Jesus, and there was like this every day I was reading scripture for like over 12 hours a day and journaling and reflecting. The Lord was taking me through heavy pruning seasons. And one of the big things the Lord had to address with me was my people-pleasing behavior. That if you all have been here with me for a while, you know when I got into New Age spirituality, New Age is like the people-pleasing of people-pleasing, where it's your belief is your belief. You know, like it's kind of saying all religions are right and all beliefs are right and they all mesh together and like we all go to the same place. And it's like this weird where you just are constantly condoning sin and condoning all these things. And I had gotten so enmeshed in that and used to that. And when I started being strengthened in my faith, I started recognizing, wow, the Lord is going to call me to speak the gospel to other people. The Lord is going to call me to ministry. Like, and that requires me saying that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. I started realizing that I was like, I'm going to have to stand on truths that are going to make other people uncomfortable. They're going to make other people frustrated. They're going to make other people angry. Started realizing I was like, just being a Christian and saying that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life is going to be found offensive by a lot of people. And that was a heavy weight for me. That was a source of stress and anxiety at first. And the Lord took me through a process of breaking that down. And one of the big things that He had revealed to me is that I cannot control the way that other people respond or react. And when you truly start to believe that, like not just hearing it, but when you truly start to believe that in your heart of no matter what I do, no matter what I say, people are going to respond how they're going to respond. That was a freedom I started walking in that I didn't know existed. I hadn't realized how many times just what I posted on social media, the way I worded something, the outfit I wore, like what anything I did, there was a part of me that was taking into account how are other people going to receive this? How are other people going to respond? There was a time in my life when I would have a post and I would like think it through for an hour of all the possible ways I could word it and the ways that the wording could go wrong and the way it could be misinterpreted. Y'all, there was a long period of time where God really couldn't use me to spread the gospel because I was so fearful over how other people would respond. That, like, being in that constant state of fear, I wasn't prepared to answer questions. I wasn't prepared to, you know, go in depth. I wasn't prepared to be rooted in faith and stand in my faith and testify. People pleasing, I hadn't realized that people pleasing idea and that belief that I could control the other people around me was really hurting my ability to be used by God in the ways that He wanted to use me. And this was the part of Romans that I immediately caught my eye when I was reading it this week was, if possible, so far as it depends on you. You know, in this, the command that we're being given isn't try to force other people's hand and try to control how other people create peace and try to control what other people do. Because I felt really convicted, y'all. There have been recent times when I have gone, I have, in all honesty, overexerted myself in some areas to create peace between people. Like when I see that there's discord and things going on, I do believe I was called to plant seeds, but I had started turning that planting seeds into trying to kind of like force the hand, right? And that's not our role. And that's not our responsibility. And maybe you listening to this need to hear today to ask God to help you know when to stop. Ask God to help you discern when are you planting seeds and when are you starting to try to force the harvest and force the situation. But I want y'all to stop and think on this when you're hearing this today. Is there an area in your life right now where you are believing that you can control outcomes that aren't in your control? That you can control actions and thoughts and feelings and responses that you can't control? And I want to take this step even further. Is there an area that God has called you to be strong in that you are watering down, that you are dulling down to keep others around you comfortable? Is there a step God is calling you to take that you have yet to take because you're fearful of how the people around you are going to respond or react? When I look back, there were so many times where I knew God was calling me to step out in faith, but I would delay that response. I would delay that action. I would delay my responding to God's call because I was overthinking, well, how are the people around me going to react? And what might I lose if people around me don't receive it well? And this was what I keep being brought back to, is so far as it depends on you. God is calling us to we have to take responsibility of what areas can we control? Like, what areas in our life can we contribute to peacekeeping, to showing love, to killing the tension, to killing the anger? So we've looked at this part, right, of recognizing that we cannot control other people and not trying to exert that control. But let's take a moment to look at the accountability aspect here. Because we do have an accountability to take. And I'll share with y'all a personal example, a personal testimony that I felt convicted by with the Lord, right? There was a connection, a relationship I had with a person that there was some tension going on. And I felt like the majority of the tension was on their part. You know, I felt like I wasn't doing a lot of wrong in the situation that caused the tension. I felt like that was more on their end, right? I felt like they were more the person with things to adjust or things to fix. But I hadn't realized that, you know, they were coming around and trying to soften the tension. Maybe the root of the problem hadn't been fixed yet, I'll say that. But they were trying to limit the lack of peace that was going on, right? They were trying to, like, okay, hey, I know we haven't completely fixed this problem yet, but let's at least, like, be kind towards each other. And I personally, y'all, wrote that off because I took it as this person just trying to dismiss the problem and dismiss the situation. And you know, maybe they were. I don't know. I don't know hearts and I don't know minds. But there was a part of me that was apprehensive to creating peace with this person because I was like, no, like if I make peace right now, they're gonna think that I'm over it and it's okay not to work on this and it's okay not to fix this. And I started feeling convicted by the Lord the more I was thinking on the scripture as far as it depends on you. Do your best to live peaceably. And I thought about it and I was like, me choosing to show this person kindness, me choosing to show this person love, isn't excusing things. I don't have to say, you know what, never mind. I don't have to back down on all these things I said. I don't have to back down on these boundaries that I stood on. But I should try to show love to this person. And I had a conviction of just telling this person, hey, I love you, would make a world of a difference in the way that we're interacting. And I listened to that and I told this person I love them, and it immediately diffused the tension. Now, these boundaries that I set, I haven't backed down on them. You know, the things that I said can hold to scripture. Did I say them in a way that was exactly Christ-like? No, and I had to repent for that. But that was an opportunity for me to work through and to utilize the tools that God has given me and how to love people but still stand on business. You know, Jesus called people to go and sin no more. He would heal them, but then he would say, but go and sin no more. In order to show love to people, Jesus wasn't saying, okay, you can conform to the world. Your truth is your truth. If this is how you're feeling, this is how you decide is best to handle, just do that. Just do your thing. Now, Jesus would call them to a higher place. Jesus would call them to grow, to be better, to do better. But he wasn't doing a thing of where he's like, but I'm going to make you feel like crap, and I'm going to be mean to you and petty towards you and all these things until you do it. His love was unconditional. He loved them regardless, but his love didn't look like enabling or encouraging to conform. And that's what I had seen in that situation, right? Is where I can show this person love. I can tell them I love them. I can show them like, hey, like I'm not stewing and angry. I don't hate you. I can do that and still not back down on the boundaries that I know God has called me to establish. And being rooted in the things I know God has called me to be rooted in. And that was a wonderful moment for me of, I see that there is an area where I can do better to create peace. But that peace doesn't look like going against God's word. And I had taken a recognition where I was like, I can't force this person to be more peaceful. I can't do these things, but what I can do is I can pray for them. I can give it to God because there is a spirit behind different actions. And when I recognize that that spiritual battle is God's to fight, there's a weight lifted off of the shoulders. I can tell you that. Maybe you are listening to this today, and this is just your opportunity to hear that you can be kind. You can show Christ-like love. You can love someone and also stand on God's word. You can do both. Boundaries don't always look like being hateful and angry. In fact, that's kind of un-Christ-like, right? You can stand on boundaries and still be praying for someone's salvation. You can stand on boundaries and still tell them that Jesus loves them. There's something that's been coming across my social media a lot recently. I find I keep passing a lot of videos of people saying the same thing, that they're saying that someone who calls you out on your sin and tries to direct you back lovingly to Christ loves you a lot more than the person that's enabling you and telling you to stay in it. It is actually a very, very loving thing for a brother and sister in Christ to be like, hey, I see that you're falling away here, and lovingly point you back when they have that bigger picture in mind of the walk with Jesus and you looking more like Jesus and you living a life submitted to Jesus is far more important than your fleshly desires or your comfortability. And this, y'all, I didn't expect to go in this direction, but there is a book that I started reading this fall that is called Servant Warfare, and it's by Steve Sojourner, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. And this was an eye-opener read for me, right? Because when I really started stepping into my authority for Christ, and I feel there are a lot of other Christians who run into this as well, right? When you step into your authority in Christ Jesus, when you're able to start discerning the spirits behind things, when you're able to start looking at something and being like, yeah, that is a demonic influence, that is a demonic oppression situation, whatever it may be, you immediately want to step into the I rebuke and I cast this out in the name of Jesus. And like, you so quickly, I know for me personally, I immediately, when I would spot something as demonic, I immediately wanted to expose it and be like, hey y'all, ring a ding ding, this is demonic here, expose it, cast it out, cast it down. And I felt like that was me really being a champion for Christ, right? I felt like that was me really, really doing a big one. And you know what? That is part of our authority as Christians, right? That is part of our authority that the Lord has given us, is to trample on serpents and scorpions, and to, in the name of Jesus Christ, cast out demons. But this was where my mind was opened, that I hadn't thought on it that long. But we also know from reading scripture that when you rebuke a demon, when you cast it out, right, that demon goes about and it goes through the waterless places and it seeks a new vessel. And then it comes back and it returns, but it returns with, I believe it's like seven more demons. So it you rebuke it from that person, but then it comes back, and it comes back stronger, and it comes back more powerful. And the way that the Lord has really, the thing that the Lord has really opened my eyes to is when you are trying to deliver people, and when you are rebuking, when you're casting out demons, if that person doesn't become a space that welcomes Jesus Christ, that wants deliverance, that sees that they need deliverance, that sees that they need a lifestyle change, sure, that demon's fleeing for a little bit, that person gets a temporary relief, but then it's starting right back up. And the thing that the Lord has been showing me is how the love of Jesus and opening people's hearts to Christ is so crucial to that. It's so crucial to someone being delivered, to someone having a different life. And I was having this conversation with someone not too long ago where it's like, yeah, you can rebuke the demon, you can rebuke all that, but if you're not showing the person the love of Jesus, if they don't see that they need to change their habits, if they don't start seeing how welcoming these things in is harmful or damaging, they're going to welcome them right back in. And the thing that this book had revealed to me, servant warfare was literally what it's called, is spiritual warfare from a servant mindset, from a servant perspective. This was a man who was a pastor, that him and his church would go throughout the week and just serve people in the community. And they had little cards made up that said, hey, we're doing this thing to just show you the love of Jesus in the practical way. They're washing people's toilets, like businesses' toilets. They're putting coins in people's parking meters. They were just doing these things that were random acts of love and kindness. And when people would start saying, why are you doing this? Why are you? That was opening up the door for them to start telling them about the love of Jesus. And there is actually a story in here of, there is this lady who was, I believe she was a tarot card reader. She was like into the psychic stuff and had a little business and had ordered for meals, free meals from the church. And the church came and brought them to her. And in doing that, and in showing her the love of Jesus and talking to her in front of all the other clients sitting out there, multiple of them that day received the gospel, gave their lives to Christ, and ended up becoming members of the church. And the common theme, and there were many, many stories like that in that book, the common theme that kept popping up is, before these people were open to being delivered, before these people were open to having, because he talks about deliverance sessions in this, when they were literally casting out and rebuking demons, and there was some very interesting stuff that I was reading about in there. But before people would be open to that and recognizing that they needed that, they first were recognizing that they needed Jesus, right? They were first recognizing that they needed Christ. And that was the mind-blowing thing for me of like, I'm so quick to rush and try to expose and try to rebuke and try to get all these people, delivered, like trying to cast out all these demons. But if these people don't know the love of Jesus, if these people don't know that they need different, then these demons are going to come back into a well-cleaned up space with seven more big chillin'. And that's something, y'all, that the Lord has been taking me through the past, I would say, especially like 6 months, is showing people the love of Jesus. We're not called to repay evil for evil. We're not. That's actually what's said right before the scriptures. Do not repay evil for evil. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And I started learning, oh my goodness. Like the problem isn't just that these people need delivered, that they need these demons like rebuked. The problem here is like they need to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So that way the deliverance sticks. Then deliverance isn't gonna stick if they don't desire to live like Jesus. And I started recognizing that speaking in hate and anger and saying like expo just the kind of constant exposure and frustration and harsh language isn't the way that Jesus spoke to people. He spoke to people with love. He spoke to people with kindness. But he never went against God's word. You can speak with love and kindness and not be going against God and not be watering down the gospel. We have like this misunderstanding. This, I don't think there's a better way to word it in this generation where people think that if they water down the gospel or leave out parts, it'll win more people over. It'll be better received. But that's not what we're called to do. We're not called to shift or change God's word or to water down God's word. But I'm telling y'all today, and I know from experience, every time before I gave my life to Jesus, when people would come at me and say, what you're doing is wrong and wicked and evil, when people would speak at me in anger and frustration, I wanted nothing to do with Jesus. I wanted nothing to do with Christianity. I wanted nothing to do. And it actually made me want to bury myself deeper in what I was doing. It actually made me want to stray further away from Christianity. And of course, now I can see that, that was me being hurt by people, not by Jesus, not by the church. But at that time, my only example of Jesus, my only example of the church was the people who were coming towards me. And all the people I was seeing were people where I was like, well, this just feels angry and hateful. Y'all, the Lord has really been changing the way that I view discipleship making and deliverance, and the root of it is love. And I feel like there are other people who need to hear this today, is love and kindness. The people who were able to plant seeds for me, when I look back and I didn't see it in the moment, but these were people who I knew that they disagreed with when I was a New Ager. I knew they disagreed with when I was a tarot card reader. I knew they disagreed with these things. But they were the first people that they weren't like, they continued to show me love regardless of their disagreement with what I was doing. They never said what I was doing was okay. They never said that what I was doing was fine. They never said anything that contradicted God's word. They listened. They would ask me questions of why I did what I did. I want to be so clear that they never conformed to it. But they also showed me a love and acceptance that made no sense to me. Like when they would find out I was needing something, they'd be so quick to give it to me. They would just talk and give me advice and like show me love in ways that it had been so long since I've seen that love because there was nothing I could give back to them. They were showing me love and kindness just to do it. And when I started giving my life to Christ, and when I started giving my life to the Lord, I was able to look back and be like, man, that was Jesus trying to get to me through these people. And it actually encouraged me when I was looking back and reflecting on conversations to deny the flesh in some areas. I'm telling y'all that if we want to bring people closer to Christ, like if we want to point people to the cross, if we want to get better at discipleship making, if we want people to want Jesus, one of the best ways, one of the best actions we can take is by showing them the love of Jesus. And I've said this in that past episode, love, you cannot show it and give it until you have experienced it, right? And I want to be so clear that, like, although today I'm able to talk about forgiveness and love and kindness and peace, I had to first receive it. I will be the first one always to tell y'all that I'm not speaking to you as like from some mountaintop of I've never made these mistakes or I made them and I'm like better now and I'm just preaching and teaching. No, I'm actively working through this and learning this because I am an imperfect person who falls short. And the only reason why I know the forgiveness of Jesus is because of the many times I have had to experience the forgiveness of Jesus. How many times I've had to go to him in repentance since giving my life to him and say, I have fallen short here. I did this. I did that. Please forgive me. And experiencing the forgiveness where Jesus is ready to forgive me, where he's ready to make peace. I had to experience that so many times before I was actually ready to extend that to other people. And it was by seeing and experiencing how Jesus forgives me that I was able to see how I can like be forgiving of other people. Now, I want to be so clear to differentiate this. Like I can't Jesus's level of forgiveness and my level of forgiveness are like different weights. Obviously, my forgiveness is I'm foregoing people to God of where it's like I any need for a lick back, a get back, vengeance to make you feel some type of way, any of that, I'm letting that go. And whatever consequence, if there is anything like that, I give that to God. And I'm trusting in God's ability to divinely handle it. I understand that vengeance is not mine. Vengeance is the Lord's, right? And that is my forgiveness. My forgiveness is foregoing someone to God. I personally do not have the capacity to like forgive sins and like the entry of heaven like Jesus does, right? So I felt the need to differentiate that of my forgiveness is I forgo someone to God. I'm not holding on to something that I'm never meant to hold on to in the first place. Vengeance is not mine. Vengeance is the Lord's. Now, Jesus, when we put our faith in Jesus, we're able to receive the forgiveness of sins, right? Because he paid the debt. He went to the cross. So when our faith is in Jesus, when we go before God one day, inevitably fall short, every single one of us has fallen short. Jesus says their faith was in me, they're covered. And we literally are able to access heaven. I feel like people know this, but I feel the need to say it anyway. Whether or not we forgive someone does not determine whether or not they go to heaven. I could be holding someone unforgiveness the rest of my life, and if they have put their faith in Jesus Christ, they're going to heaven, baby. Their faith is in him. Their heart is with him. Whether or not I choose to forgive someone does not determine whether or not they go to heaven, whether or not they see salvation. I just felt the need to kind of differentiate that of my forgiveness is a different type of forgiveness from Jesus. But my forgiveness can look very similar to the way Jesus forgave in ways, right? Because I've experienced how he's done it for me. Most of my life, I had fallen short. Most of my life, I had been angry and rejected him and lived in the flesh and did all these things, believed the lies of the enemy, did all these things that didn't serve Jesus. I went against him every day of my life. I betrayed and denied him every day of my life. But then one day when I saw the truth and I repented, he was ready to forgive me. Like, he was ready to, I love you. I've been waiting for you. And him showing that to me has opened my mind up that I can show that to other people too, right? And there's the scripture that I want to read to y'all. Again, in Titus 3, where it says here, starting in verse 3, "For we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by various passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, detesting one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not by works or righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy." And y'all, I remember when I first repented to give my life to Jesus, and I felt a peace and I felt a weight lifted off of me. And I was reading scripture and they were talking about offerings. And I remember having this thought of, thank you, Jesus, for coming here and making it to where I just have to put my faith in you, because I don't have the money for a goat or a cow or a cattle. I can't drive to a temple and do all that. I started thinking, I was like, glory be to God that we can repent and be forgiven like that. That it's not a works-based thing. And, you know, I want to circle this around to that person that I felt the Lord calling me to show love to. I shared that testimony with y'all earlier of just telling them I love them. Is I had been holding into my heart, a part of me was refusing to interact or be kind or show love to this person because I was like, they haven't changed yet. And I felt convicted of the Lord saying that my being kind to them or my showing the love of Jesus to them shouldn't be dependent on their works, because I'm not deserving of it either. And this was something, honestly, I really struggled to fully grasp or understand. I know that there's more that the Lord is going to reveal to me on this topic throughout my life, but it's crazy the understanding I have of it now versus just a couple months ago. But from a humble space, when I remind myself that I'm not deserving of the forgiveness I receive from Jesus, I'm not deserving of the love or any of these things, yet I still receive it anyway, that allows me to show that and share that with other people. And going back to our root topic today, doing your best to live peaceably with others includes showing the love of Jesus to them, whether or not they deserve it. Because you don't deserve it, and I don't deserve it. When we live in scripture as our truth, we're operating as scripture as the truth, none of us deserve it. Not a single one of us, our salvation, our entry into heaven cannot be bought by works. Our works do not buy our way into heaven, so that way no man may boast. Our works do not buy the love of the Heavenly Father. And when we're striving to live a life Christ-like, we need to stop ransoming our love. Like, we need to start saying, I'll only show you love, or I'll only show you if you meet these certain requirements or do these certain works. And again, I don't know how many times, but I'll continue to reiterate this, y'all. Love doesn't mean putting down boundaries. Love doesn't mean access. And I do encourage you to pray that God shows you the ways that you can love people better. If you're needing a new topic to Bible study on, I encourage your next one to be love. How to show Christ-like love. How to be forgiving. What ways can you grow in that? And if you're sitting here listening to this and thinking, I already love people super well, or I already do this, there's nowhere to grow, I want to lovingly discourage that thinking. Because there is a pruning that can be done. As long as we are walking here on this earth in these bodies, there is more that we can learn about the Lord, and there is more that we can improve in and grow on. We're not perfect. We all fall short. And we're continuing to go through a growing and learning process every day. So I want it in the most loving, loving way, because I have been in that position. I have had moments where I'm like, God, I've showed the love to these people in every way I can think of. I've done this in every way I can think of. I don't know what more you want from me. And then usually he'll let me kind of settle and, you know, get back in his presence and get emotionally sorted. And then he'll show me exactly the thing that I'm needing to heal or work on. Usually when I feel an apprehension or I immediately want to wall up to something like that, there's an unhealed pattern or thought or behavior that I'm protecting or defending. So in the most loving way, I just want to say there is an area that you can be expanded on. And I do encourage you to pray to the Lord to help you expand that. I know there's probably some more he's needing to show me. We're working through it this week, obviously. I thought I did so well at making peace with people until the Lord revealed to me I can be doing better. I thought I was doing so good with deliverance and rebuking until the Lord showed me that there was a whole aspect of it I was missing. I thought I was doing so good with standing on the truth, on God's truth, until I was put in situations where I recognized I was watering down scripture. I pray that this episode just helps you today in how you interact and how you show the love of Jesus and how you take accountability, and maybe helping you to stop taking accountability for some things that aren't yours to take. You know, I feel like that was a good part, the first part of this message, that there are some areas, there are some weights that we're carrying that God never meant for us to carry. There are some responsibilities that we're bringing along with us that aren't ours to bring along. And when we start identifying this is an area that should be left to God, it's crazy the freedom that we can step into and move through. I pray that this episode blesses you and helps you, and that you're guided in this season. I pray that my testimony, however, sometimes, honestly, y'all, it can be sometimes embarrassing to share some of these testimonies, because I'm like, I feel like that's a really obvious thing to fall short on. But I feel like me being vulnerable and sharing this with y'all, it keeps me humble. But I really, truly hope that it also helps y'all to see that, like, I'm moving through this process too. I'm in the boat with you. Like, although I'm speaking about these things, like, these are things that I'm moving through and learning through, and that you see that, like, I'm also just moving through it and walking through it, and that I fall short too. And I hope that it helps you in softening your heart and just accepting some of these things. I pray that y'all have a wonderful day. Please subscribe wherever it is you're listening to the podcast. Like, subscribe, share this episode with someone you feel maybe needing to hear it. If you feel the Holy Spirit leading you to share it with someone, share it with them, and I will see y'all later. God bless.